That's where I wanted to go to, too. Okay, turn to the book of Daniel this morning. The book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. I like the book of Daniel. It's an old book of prophecy, but there's a lot of scripture has been fulfilled in it, and there's a lot of scripture to be fulfilled in this book, especially concerning the tribulation time that is to come. But we're not talking about that today. In the fifth chapter, I'm going to begin reading it, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Folks, he was doing that in defiance of God. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that he wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. And to put it in a country language, he was scared to death. May God bless his word. Lord, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, may we receive the message from the Word of God, because there's a message there. It's a message for all people. The Lord is not to be defied, but the Lord God is to be reverenced, and the Lord God is to be recognized as the Lord God, before whom all men will bow down one day. Help me today, Lord. I'm little, Lord. I'm helpless, Lord. Lord, help me to share your great, precious word, and may it bless hearts today. And we'll praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With all these birthdays I'm having, I'm seeing the writing on the wall. That's what Belshazzar saw. He saw the writing on the wall. It looks like my time's running out too. So that being said means I need to get everything in order for a grand departure. This is something that eventually happens to all of us if we're here long enough. We'll start seeing the writing on the wall. We're not going to be here much longer. So if we're wise, we'll prepare for that time, be ready to meet our Maker. If you drive a car or a truck long enough, one day you'll see the writing on the wall too. And then that vehicle's got to be replaced. Brother Chavis was talking about a clunker this morning. Because we need reliable transportation. And all the vehicles are all headed for the junkyard, amen? Sometimes somebody helps them get there a little bit quicker. This is true of your home. If you own one, a house in time will soon need lots of repairs. You go out and build you a beautiful, beautiful home, and you just delighted in a new home. It won't be long. You've got to go doing repairs. It's going to start need repairs and seem like it'll be quicker than you think. The contents of the house, like the refrigerator, the freezer, the washing machine, the dryer, the water heater, the AC and DC unit, all of these will need to be replaced in about 10 years. That's about the life of them. Used to, stuff lasted longer, but now it don't help the people that make them. They need to be replaced quicker so they can sell more. Things don't last forever. Have you found that out? They're all like all of us. We wear out. Better watch the what writing on the wall. We're not going to be here forever. There's another truth, whether people want to admit it or not, and that is we're going to reap what we sow. That is a law of God. You talk about a law of God, now that's a law of God. You reap what you sow. Sometimes we can reap more than we sow and worse than we sow. Consider what the Apostle Paul wrote to the different churches. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6 says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's God's law. When Christians are judged at the judgment seat of Christ, many may wonder, why are some believers getting more rewards than me? The reason they will be getting more rewards is they did more for Jesus. They were more dedicated to Jesus. They sacrificed for Jesus. They may have died for Jesus. And they'll be properly rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, many believers would have heeded what Jesus said. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That lets us know up front what you get when you get to heaven is what you've sent on. A lot of people don't think about that, I don't think. But we're putting in heaven now what we're going to get when we get there. And if we don't put anything there now, it's not going to be anything there. You'll just be saved. If we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. That's the law of God. Everybody's not going to have the same thing when they get to heaven. That's what they want to do now, sounds like, with this socialism. Everybody, especially the lower people, everybody had the same thing. That means if I do little for the Lord, I can expect to receive less from the Lord now and in heaven. God blesses now if we're faithful, but rewards in heaven if we're faithful. I've found the more I do for the Lord now, the more I enjoy the Lord. What about you? Amen. I do. The more you do for the Lord now, the more you love the Lord and enjoy the Lord. I do. If I'm faithful in serving the Lord as I should, I can expect the Lord to bless me now and receive rewards in heaven. The bottom line is I'm going to receive how I invested. That's God's law. However, we should not serve the Lord to get rewards. That's not what we should be doing. We should serve the Lord because He would save a sinner like me. Amen? And we should love Him and rejoice in His mercy and grace unto us. Galatians 6:7. Listen to this verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what about these folks that's going up and down the streets now in the cities, tearing up everything? What you think they're going to reap one day? They might get put in the jailhouse today. They may have to pay a fine today. Might. But they got to stand before a just God one day. And they're going to reap just what they sow. If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. If you plant onions, you're going to get onions. Well, this year I got fooled. I planted watermelons and I didn't get a one. But nevertheless, you usually get what you plant. I got watermelon vines. I had watermelons on the vines. Some of them got that big and then they rotted. We cannot deceive God, and He will not permit us to mock Him without consequences. If we treat others properly, God will recognize this. But if we mistreat other people, God will recognize this too. And we got a lot of hate in our country today, a lot of anger, bitterness, spite against other people. God's keeping a record of it. He knows about it. Those that sow to the flesh simply means they live with little or no time for God, because Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That's the law of God. It's available for everybody to know. It's in the Word of God. It's the wisdom of God. So we know how to live. So we would know what a expected end would be. Too many people are just living to please themselves today. Amen. That's why so many empty seats in churches today. People are living to please themselves. Right. When I go home after a while, people will be mowing the grass. People will be shopping at Walmarts and Lowe's. Oh, they'll have a good attendance today, brother. Oh, yeah. They're going to have a good attendance. They're going to have a good payday. But God's keeping a record. God's keeping a record. People do not go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. But instead, they do the things that interest them. Well, a good God allows them to do that. I've got something in my throat. A good God allows people to do what they want to do. Because God made us and gave us free will. God didn't make robots where He snatched a chain to make you do what He wanted you to do. He lets you decide what you want to do. And if you're wise, you'll follow this. Amen. If you're wise, you'll follow this and heed it. I don't know what I swallowed, I reckon. I swallowed one of them. You cannot expect to leave a... You cannot expect to lead an unspiritual life and go to heaven. Ignore God and then expect to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. Oh, I know the people need to hear that. It's not here today. But it's on the record, amen? God's got a record. God says one day, hey, if you'd been to church, you'd have heard the preacher warn you about that. Thank you. You could have opened it. Excuse me, folks. That's why I married her. If we live by faith, as the Bible teaches, we're going to expect a great harvest when we get to heaven. But you know, I don't think about that too much myself, what I'm going to get. I don't think about that. You know what I think about mostly? I want to please the Lord. That's what I think about. I want to please the Lord. I want the Lord to be able to use me while I'm here. I want my life to have meaning and purpose. If I invest my life in this world, it's going to be wasted. I just love what I do. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of serving the Lord, church.
No, sir.
Don't get tired of serving the Lord. Don't let others not coming to church keep you from coming to church. Preacher, I'm talking to you this morning. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of serving the Lord, church.
No,
do whatever you can do. The Bible says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what bugs me? And I can't hardly wait for spring to come. And then I get and plant me some seed. And every day I'm out there looking to see if them seeds coming up.
Yeah.
I'm just looking. Why don't them seeds come up? They've been down there overnight.
Yeah. Oh,
and then when they start coming up, why don't they just don't hurry up?
Yeah.
And then finally, you'll see some blooms on the vine or something. It's just taking so long. You ain't like that, are you, brother?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And finally, I'll see a little watermelon about that big. Just about that big. That's going to be a good one. I wish it'd hurry up and get ripe. And I'm a-waiting. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. We know when it's going to be ripe, don't we? I'm the same way with my grapes. Can't wait till they get ripe, you know. These days we live here are days often with struggle and hardship. You found that to be true? You struggle, Johnny? Have days of disappointments?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Chavis called me the other night. I won't comment no further. Oh, brother. Yeah, we have hardships. We have many joys also and wonderful times, don't we? Amen. But as the years go by, we find it more difficult to do those things we once were doing. I tell you what, folks, sometimes I think about something that needs to be done and I just don't know whether I want to do it or not. I don't feel like it. And used to, I was a non-stopper. Oh, listen, folks. But we can still pray. We can support the work of the Lord. Knowing that the Lord knows the attitude of our heart of what we want to do. But the writing's on the wall. Belshazzar saw it. We can see it too. The writing's on the wall of God's word. We're going to reap what we sow. That's the law of God. You know what? Listen to me this morning. I've been a pastor for a long time now. I've seen a lot of people coming to this church. A lot of people. I've seen them come and go. Most of the time, I can tell you beforehand when someone is about to leave the church. I can tell it. Sometimes it's the way they're acting. Sometimes it's something to say. Sometimes it's they start missing church. But I can always, I'm seldom ever caught by surprise when people quit coming because I know ahead of time. I see it. So before they even leave, I've already seen the writing on the wall. The reason they leave may be varied, but I still usually know beforehand they're going to leave. Only Jesus can build his church, and I can't. And I know I can't. And Jesus knows people. The Bible says Jesus knew what was in their hearts. Let's talk about the writing on the wall with Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, it's believed. He was having a lavish party for 1,000 of his officers. I mean, he was flinging a party. Now, what he didn't know, he had already been defeated by the Persians. And now he was in Babylon with those big walls that was, he felt very secure there. Very secure, those high walls. Weren't nothing going to penetrate them. But while he was in there having his party, he didn't know the Persians was outside with their shovels. And they were turning that water away from the river. So they're having a party, eating, drinking, carrying on like they do with them kind of get-togethers. And Belshazzar has an idea. He orders all the gold vessels taken from the temple in Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar to be brought out and for them to drink wine in those vessels from the temple in defiance of Israel's God. He didn't know he was destroying his own self. People today don't even know when they're destroying their own self. Boy, and they're doing it so many ways today, aren't they? Drugs, alcohol, pleasure, indifference. But as they're eating and drinking, suddenly a hand appears on the wall of the banquet. and begins writing some words that no one understood or could read. That's enough to terrify them, to see a man's hand on the wall of writing a message. And think about them half drunk or fully drunk seeing that happening. When Belshazzar sees this astonishing message appearing, he begins to tremble uncontrollable. He's scared to death, we'd say out in the country. What is this? He wonders in panic, and he calls for someone to read the message, but nobody in his kingdom knew how to read that message. Well, none of his wise men or astrologers could read that message. Then the queen appears, the old queen, and tells the king of a man in the kingdom that's able to read messages like that for him. So they send for Daniel. Someone goes get the old prophet of God who had served Nebuchadnezzar many, many years earlier. Daniel's an old man now. And he had interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar and told him about the four world empires that was going to be before the empire came that would destroy all the other ones, referring to the coming of Jesus Christ. When Daniel gets there, Daniel is offered great riches by Belshazzar. If he'll just read the writing on the wall, he'll be greatly rewarded, made third to reign in the empire. But Daniel wasn't interested in riches. But he began to read the strange words that were written by the mysterious hand that appeared on the wall. And this is the writing that was written, the Bible tells us, many, many, tekel, upharsin. And the interpretation of the thing, many, means God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Boy, that was a message to receive, weren't it? That brought a halt to the party, amen? For years, Belshazzar had ignored the warning his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had experienced when he was such a proud, rebellious man. And got humbled by God one day. Had him out in the field eating grass like a cow. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
But old Belshazzar ignored that. You know what, folks? People today are ignoring what God has done in the past.
The other countries, yeah.
And they know what God has done.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad for them. For years, Belshazzar had ignored the warning Nebuchadnezzar had experienced. Belshazzar was a wicked man. He was a very wicked man and had led the kingdom of Babylon to destruction. Isn't that something when a leader leads the nation to destruction?
Yes, sir.
Rebellion, pride, arrogance may be prolonged for a time, but then the fall will surely come. We kind of reverenced it a little bit in our Sunday school yesterday about the Pharaoh. Oh, the Pharaoh, now he was a tough guy. Oh, he thought he was God. But his whole army was destroyed when he chased after those Jews when they went through the Red Sea. God kept warning him, kept warning him, kept warning him. Pharaoh kept ignoring. God warns the last time. God warns the last time. And the end is not pretty. The end is not pretty. Man can do his thing, but he cannot delay or miss his appointment with God. Let me say that again. Man can do his thing. I'm going to do what I want to. Yeah, up to a point. But you can't miss your appointment with God. Belshazzar fulfilled his promise towards Daniel for interpreting the writing on the wall. He gave him all those riches. What good were they? And Daniel chapter 5, verses 29 through 31, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold around his neck, and that wouldn't be a cheap one either, folks, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. He still didn't believe the writing on the wall, the stupid king. Daniel just told him God had finished him. But he didn't believe it, did he? Sometimes people are so hard-headed they don't believe it. I tell you, when God knocks you in the head, you'll believe it. Amen. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That very night. Because while all that was going on, they were getting the dirt out of a canal to divert that water so they could go under the wall, come in and destroy the people in Babylon. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. While Belshazzar the king was partying with all of his lords, the Persians were diverting the water of the river so the army could come into the city and conquer Babylon. You may have your walls, you may think you got your protection, but you can't outsmart God. Can't outsmart God. Many years earlier, and I want you to get this, many years earlier, Isaiah had made a prophecy of the death and destruction of Belshazzar back in Isaiah 14, 9 through 11. Listen to what Isaiah said was going to happen to Belshazzar. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Can imagine that. That king was a powerful man. More, and he thought he was powerful, but he couldn't keep himself out of hell. Amen? Y'all hear me this morning?
Amen.
Men can't keep themselves out of hell and ignore God.
Yes,
it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. A lot of powerful ones have gone down to hell too. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. They're going to put him in a grave now. And what's going to happen in the grave? The worms are going to eat him, spread under him, and the worms shall cover thee. Isaiah said, that's what's going to happen to you. Boy, he thought he was somebody. But you're not too much when you have to depart this world without God. Now let us consider this. Babylon refused to serve God, and she was destroyed. Our own nation that was once a great witness for God, for Jesus, and for the Word of God has basically forsaken the testimony we once had. We've become a secular nation, and many of our churches have forsaken the truth of the Scriptures. Fulfilling the Scripture the Apostle Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy 3:5, many of our churches having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want y'all to listen to this. Even many of our Baptist churches have drifted from the truth. Our Baptist churches. And they used to be the powerhouse for our country. My own home church, where I was raised, has now resorted to plate sales. Remember, we had a guy who came here to our church for a while, and he wanted us to have car washes and plate sales. When he found out that weren't going to happen, he moved on. Folks, you support the Lord's work with your tithes and love offerings. If you got to sell something, you're not living by faith. Let me tell you something today. The writing's on the wall. This nation is not going to get by with all her sins. Our sins are grievous and hateful to God, folks. He will not overlook them because of who He is. He's holy. When the churches are out of the will of God, then the Holy Spirit will not be restraining the evil that is creeping throughout our culture. That's what is happening today with all of our liberal churches. Before long, we will hear more and more destruction and restlessness from the rioting hordes. They're already planning how they're going to get rid of our president through phony ballots. There's going to be rioting like you've never seen when that election happens, I'm afraid. We forgot about God in this country. We better be like Daniel when he prayed in Daniel 9, 4 through 9. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to Daniel chapter 9, quite quick, because it's so important. It's so needed. In Daniel 9, beginning at verse 4, "And I prayed unto the Lord," Daniel said, "my God. And I made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned. We. And have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments," Daniel prayed. "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princesses, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, to all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. Folks, that prayer fits our country just as much as it fits the Jews. As a nation, we have rebelled against God. You just sit there where you're at this morning and think in your mind what our leaders have done because of the will of the people. We want to kill babies. We want liquor to be sold. We want drugs to be sold. We want gambling to go on. We want all these things, like take God out of the schoolhouse, take prayer out of the schoolhouse. What have you done? You've took your blessings away. You've took your hope away. And now it's payday, and the writing's on the wall.
Yes, sir.
May we pray. Loving God, we're such sinful people. Our sins are so many. Our sins are so grievous against thee, O holy, holy, and righteous God. But you are a God of great mercy. Great is thy mercies. And, O God, we pray for thy mercies. Help us, O God, because we are helpless. Stir up our hearts as the church to repent, because judgment begins at the church. Stir up our hearts to repent. Convict our hearts of our sins. Help us, the Christian community, the body of Christ, to see ourselves and how we've treated our God, who has been so good to us, so merciful to us, so kind to us. Help us, O God. Oh, for revival. Oh, for a spiritual awakening among the people of God. We pray, we beg, in the name above all the names, the name of Jesus, our Lord, our soon coming Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen and amen. Our altar's open. You want to come pray? You want to come cry to the Lord? You want to beseech heaven for mercy? You want to believe God, who alone can help us and change our direction? Only he can do it. Maybe we've gone too far. We may be gone too far, because God has been calling so long. No one is heeding. No one wants to heed.